بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 7th of April in the year 2024 and it's the 28th blessed day of the holy month of Ramadan So we're into the last few blessed days. So we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts our efforts during this glorious month and forgive us our many failings. Amen. And we moved on to the 13th session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Al-Nur. And we've reached verse 30. So inshallah, going through up to and including halfway through verse 31. So verse 30, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Say to the believing men that they should lower their gaze and guard their modesty. That will make for greater purity for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well acquainted with all that they do. So here, an important point is mentioned by Sheikh Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri, who is the Grand Mufti of Darul Uloom Jamia Islamia, Dabhel in India. And in his work, The Tranquil Eye, page 24, he quotes this verse. So the verse I've just recited, verse 30. Then the Shaykh said, the following verse, 31, is then directed at the female folk. Tell the believing women, they must lower their gaze and guard their private parts and must not expose their adornment. Then the Shaykh said, in the glorious Quran, whenever a command is stipulated, then all the believers are addressed. For example, Ya ayyuhalladhina amun, O believers. And they include both genders. However, this one command is of such a nature wherein both men and women are uniquely addressed separately in order to emphasize the importance of this teaching. So this is one of the rare places in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala has given the same command, but He's mentioned separately the male and the female. So why is He doing that? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could have just said, O believers, lower your gaze. Because this is of a very important nature, this command. It greatly affects a person. And of course, there's famous reports. There's a hadith in Hakim Sahih, and the meaning of the hadith. Our beloved messenger, he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a person takes his sight away from the unlawful, i.e. the opposite gender, Allah Ta'ala will then make him taste the sweetness of his iman or his worship. So what does this hadith indicate? It indicates that it greatly impacts your worship, i.e. what you are looking at. And what's fascinating about this, why is it impacting your worship? So the shuyukh say, doing good deeds is done by one and all, but keeping out of the haram is done by the righteous. And it's 100% true. To do a good deed is easy, but to keep out of the haram is more difficult. And of course, if your eyes fall accidentally upon the opposite gender, you're not accountable. The very famous hadith where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're not accountable for the accidental glance, but you are thereafter. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. So that's an accidental glance, Allah Ta'ala overlooks that. Now what does it mean you will taste the sweetness of your worship? So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He mentions that the month of Ramadan, to fast in the month of Ramadan, if you do it correctly, you will gain taqwa. So what does that mean? our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, that many people fast and all they acquire is hunger and thirst. So that person won't acquire taqwa because he thinks fasting is just stopping and eating and drinking. And the Prophet said, you don't get, you've ticked the box, you've got the fast, you've fulfilled the obligation, but you haven't acquired the purpose of the fast. So how do you acquire taqwa? And of course, the hadith mentioned you control your sight, you control your hearing, you control your tongue, etc., etc. So note, it's keeping out of the haram that gives you taqwa. So in particular to the eyes, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned here that the men first and foremost should lower their gaze. And then Allah Ta'ala says at the end of the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. He is well acquainted with all that you do. Meaning, don't think that Allah Ta'ala is not aware of your furtive glances. And also what's interesting, tahajjud. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith in Ahmad, that many people pray at night and all they get is fatigue. All they get is fatigue. So again, you've ticked the box, you've got the tahajjud, but you haven't got the maqsad. So note, there's a spirit behind the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The other thing pointed out here, why does Allah Ta'ala mention men first? This is called the hijab of the men. Then he mentions the females. Why does he mention men first? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the greatest fitna I leave after you, after me, is women, I for the men. So obviously the men should be addressed first. And then thereafter the women are addressed. Verse 31. And say to the believing women that they should lower their gaze and guard their private parts, that they should not display their beauty and ornaments except what must ordinarily appear thereof, that they should draw their veils over their bosoms. So now, there's a reason for revelation here. So there's a report recorded in Ibn Abi Hatim. Muqatil ibn Hayyan, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, we were told that Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiyallahu anhuma, he related the reason for the revelation of this verse. It was that Asma ibn Murthid, radiyallahu anhu, was in her dwelling in Bani Haritha. And the women started entering without lowering garments in a way that the anklets on their feet could be seen, along with their chests and forelocks. The matter at which she radiallahu anha said, how ugly this is. Upon which Allah Ta'ala revealed verse 31. So according to this report, what was the reason? So it was only females. So there was a female companion, a female friends came to visit, but they came in and their anklets on their feet could be seen, meaning their ankles, and also the upper parts of their chest were visible, and also the front part of their hair. And she spontaneously responded, how ugly this is. And Allah the Almighty then revealed this verse, meaning that the females need to cover appropriately. And notice, men aren't mentioned at all in the revelation of this verse, meaning even amongst women there's a type of purda as well. And also there's another report. So this is recorded in Abu Dawood, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 505 of the New English Translation. Safiya bin Shaiba, radiyallahu anha, she relates, we were once with Aisha, radiyallahu anha, discussing the women of the Quraysh and their virtues. Sayyidah Aisha, radiyallahu anha, said, undoubtedly, the women of the Quraysh have great virtues. However, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have not seen women better than the women of the Ansar. They were the strongest believers in the Quran and in Revelation. Let's open the report. So the women of the Quraysh were praised, but Aisha, very humbly she said, and she swore a qasam, meaning that she was certain about this. It goes, I have not seen women better than the women of the Ansar. Then look at the praise. They were the strongest believers in the Quran revelation. Then she explained, when Allah the Almighty revealed, and she recited this verse 31, وَلِيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جُيُوبِهِنَّ, they should wear their scarves over their chests. Their men went to them to recite the verse to them. Every man recited the verse to his wife, daughter, sister, to every mahram of his. Every one of these women took their decorated shawls and wrapped it around themselves because of their strong faith in what Allah Ta'ala revealed in his book. The following morning, they all performed salat behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with their shawls wrapped and protruding above their heads because of the large size, looking as if there were crows perched on their heads. So this is an authentic report in Abu Dawood. So the female companions amongst the Ansar immediately acted upon this. So now there's the hijab and there's the jilbab. This verse is talking about the jilbab. The jilbab is the cloth that covers the chest. The hijab is what covers the aura. Right? So again, don't get confused over the two. And immediately the Ansari women covered everything. And they were praying behind the Prophet. And Aisha was greatly impressed because look how quickly they acted upon the verse. Radiallahu ta'ala. So now if you look at the verse, something very interesting. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? They must guard their private parts. They should not display their ornaments. Then he says, "Illa ma zahara minha," except what appears thereof. There's an exception. There's something they are allowed to show. "Illa ma zahara minha." So, what part of their bodies are the females allowed to show? Allah Ta'ala is telling you that. So, there's an ikhtilaf here. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he interpreted this exception by saying, and he recited the portion, he said, meaning clothes. So what they are allowed to show, Allah Ta'ala will accept what they are allowed to show is their clothing. This is in Hakim, and he states sahih to the criteria of Muslim, Zahmi sahih, Ibn Abi Shayba, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Many others of the Salaf said the same in Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So when Allah Ta'ala says they are allowed to show what's apparent, it's just their clothing. But Ahlul Bayt, subhanAllah, if you want ease, who do you turn to? Ahlul Bayt. We're not talking about Ahlul Bayt of the Rawafid, right? We're talking about the proper Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt always find ease. What did Abdullah ibn Abbas say, radiyallahu? He said, he was questioned about this verse. And he said it refers to the face and hands. They are allowed to show their face. They are allowed to show their hands. This is in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, volume 4, page 283. Bayhaqi in his Sunan. And Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi said sahih in his checking. So this is where the ikhtilaf is. So some scholars, they say the women need to be completely covered. And in fact, there's a direct report. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, verily, a woman is an awra in her entirety. Verily, a woman is an awra in her entirety. This is in Tirmidhi, Tabarani. And Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi said, sahih in Irwa ul-Ghalil, number 273. So, the awra for the man is from the belly button to the knees. Ibn Mas'ud said, head to toe, woman. She is an awra. So, how can she show the face and hands? Ibn Abbas respectfully disagreed because no, it's the face and hands. Allah Ta'ala has made an exception there. So there's a league, you know, an established difference of opinion. So why are people arguing about it? So the women, some adopt Ibn Mas'ud's understanding, and that's the safer approach, completely covered, even wear gloves. And others, they take the understanding of Ahlul Bayt, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. And what's interesting, both of them were giants of the Qur'an. One was Tarjamanul Qur'an, the other was the most learned of the Qur'an. And they've differed. But really, is there a difference? And the response is no. Allah Ta'ala was obviously inspiring these great men, radiyallahu ta'ala. So So now there's a few things. So Sheikh Mawdudi rahmatullah alayh, he in his commentary of these verses, he gives some important clarifications. So quoting, he said, the commandments of restraining the gaze for women are the same for men. They should not glance intentionally at other men. If they happen to cast a chance look, they should turn their eyes away and they should abstain from looking at the satr of others. So now what's the satr? So with women, this is important. The satr with respect to women, this is what Sheikh Mawdudi says, page 126 of his commentary of Surah Nur. The boundaries of female satr with respect to women are the same as the boundaries of the male satr with respect to men, which is the part of the body from the navel to the knee. So stop in the quote. A woman must never show to another woman what's between the navel to the knee. That's their satr. Then the Shaykh said, this does not, however, mean that a woman should appear half naked before other women. It only means that while it is obligatory to keep the part of the body from the navel to the knee duly covered, it is not so in case of other parts. So this is the satr for the females. So this is important because some people think that women amongst women, they can show everything. And the answer is no, from the belly button to the knees, they're not allowed to show even that to women. So here, Sheikh Mawdudi on his commentary, he says, the women should abstain from looking at the satr of others as well. So now why is that important? Because women obviously feel more comfortable with the female folk. But if they've got non-Muslim female folk, it's important for them to understand this. Then the Shaykh said, the commandments relating to the men's looking at women are a little different from those relating to the women's looking at men. So on the face of it, it looks the same. Men shouldn't look at women, you know, with lustful intent, and women should do the same. But there's a difference, the Shaykh said. Then he starts quoting. And the hadith is in Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ahmad. He goes, our mother Sayyida Salama and our mother Sayyida Maymuna, radiallahu anhuma, they were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the blind companion, Abdullah ibn Maktum, radiallahu anhu, appeared. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his wives, conceal your faces from him. Cover yourself. The wives radiallahu anhuma said, Ya Rasulullah, is he not blind? So why should we cover ourselves? Neither will he see us nor recognize us. Upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, are you too also blind? Do you not see his face? Salama then clarified this incident occurred after the commandments of the observance of Burda had been revealed. So there's the difference. Men, women, they're not supposed to look at each other. He's blind. So they're thinking, okay, we don't need to cover. He's blind. But the Prophet said, are you blind? Meaning, cover yourselves. So this is the first report. Then he quotes a second in Imam Malik's Muwatta. A blind man came to see Aisha radiallahu anha and she covered from him. When asked to why she observed covering when the man could not see her, she replied, but I see him. Then the Shaykh said, but there's other reports which contradict apparently. And he quotes a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Imam Ahmad's Musnad. And this is the 7th year after Hijrah. It was a deputation of Abyssinians came to Al-Madinah and they performed a physical skill in the compound of the Prophet's Masjid. They were doing a war dance. Rasulullah allowed Aisha to look over his shoulder. So somebody goes, I'm totally confused, right? The Prophet is saying one hand, don't look to his noble wife, even a blind man. And now he's allowing his beloved wife to look at the Abyssinians doing a war dance. Then he calls another report. This is in Sahih Muslim, Abu Dawud. Fatima bin Qais, radiallahu anha, she was irrevocably divorced by her husband. And the question arose where she should pass her waiting period after divorce or death of husband. Rasulullah told her, first, stay with Shariq Ansari, radiyallahu. But later he said, go to the house of Ibn Maktum, radiyallahu, where she could stay with greater freedom as he was a blind man. He did not approve of her staying in the house of Shariq because she was a rich lady and her house was frequented by the companions whom she entertained generously. So again, what's happening? A woman is told she needs to spend a waiting period first in a female's house. But then the Prophet said no, because she's a generous woman and she entertains. Go to the house of the blind man. So, but I thought that she couldn't look at the blind man. So why is the Prophet saying this? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then the Shaykh explains, this is why fiqh is important. Read together, these ahadith show that the restrictions about the women's looking at men are not as stringent as about the men looking at women. Men full stop, keep your eyes down. Women, there's a little bit of leniency. That's the whole point. Whilst it is forbidden for women to sit face to face with men, it is not unlawful if they cast a look at men whilst passing on the way or see a harmless performance by them from a distance. There is also no harm for women to see other men in case of real need if they are living in the same dwelling. Imam Ghazali, Ibn Hajar Asqalani reached the same conclusion. Rahimahumullah. So no, there's a difference. That's why there's conflicting, it's not conflicting reports, the Prophet can't contradict. But he's explaining something. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh said, Hafiz Shawqani in his Nail al-Awtar, he quotes Ibn Hajar Asqalani as saying, Rahmatullah alayhi, this is volume 6, page 101. Such a permission in respect of women is supported by the fact they have always enjoyed this type of freedom in outdoor duties. Whilst they came out veiled when visiting the masjids or moving in the streets or during the journey, so that men may not gaze at them. The men were never commanded to use the veil, so that women may not gaze at them. This shows that the commandments in respect of the two genders are different. Then the Shaykh said, however, it is not at all permissible that women should gaze leisurely at men and draw pleasure of the eye in doing so. Have you understood? There's a difference. But of course, the women shouldn't look at a man with lust. That's obviously by the vice, they say. So now, just to add this, Shaykh Maududi then says, Rahmatullah Ali, page 125 in his commentary of Surah Nur, the female satr with respect to men is the entire body, excluding the hands and the face, which should not be exposed before any other man, not even the brother, father, except the husband. Okay, interesting. They should not be exposed except, not even to the brother, father, except the husband. Then the Shaykh said, the woman is not allowed to wear a thin or tight-fitting dress which might reveal the skin or the outlines of her body. This is also nullifying the hijab. So you get some women, they're covering their hair, bosoms covered. They're wearing tight jeans. What do you think with them covered? And he goes, but you're wearing figure-hugging clothes. So this is also violation of the command. Then he quotes a report in Abu Dawud. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, once my sister Asma radiallahu anha came before Rasulullah in a thin dress. So she was covered. But she was wearing a thin dress radiallahu anha. Rasulullah turned his face away immediately. And he said, oh Asma, when a woman attains maturity, it is not permissible that any part of her body should be exposed except the face and the hand. She was fully covered. The Prophet said, the face and the hand, only the face and the hand, O Asma. In other words, why are you wearing thin clothing? Ibn Jarir relates a similar incident. Our mother Aisha says that once the daughter of Abdullah ibn Tufail, so let's explain what this is. So Abdullah ibn Tufail was Aisha's brother. How? They shared the same mother. Have you understood? So Abdullah ibn Tufail radiallahu, and Aisha were brothers and sisters. Abdullah ibn Tufail had a daughter, and she came to visit. So she was the niece of Aisha. When Rasulullah entered the dwelling, he saw her, he turned his blessed face to the side. Aisha goes, "Ya Rasulullah, she's my niece." Meaning she's there's nothing to worry about. She's my niece. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a woman reaches the age of puberty, it is not lawful for her to display her body except the hand and the face. Meaning she's wearing revealing clothing. Then he indicated by grabbing his hand and wrist. Because this is, because don't do this. Now look how beautiful. The Prophet's talking without looking. Because he's protected. Allah protected him from any sin. Right? And he's talking, and he's always talking through third party, so he doesn't hurt the individual. The only relaxation permitted in this connection is that a woman can uncover only that much of her body before her close relatives. For example, brother, father, as is absolutely necessary for attending to household duties. This is when there's a bit of leniency. For instance, she can roll up her sleeves when she's kneading the flour, or tuck up her lower garment whilst washing the floor. So note, they need to be careful even with their mahrams. Right? And why is that? Now why is all this shocking? Because obviously men are weak, so females are weak. You know, we shouldn't find fault with the females. We're not exactly, you know, living righteous lives ourselves. Now, all of these are the commands. But with all commands, there's virtue. So the worst way to go through these commands with your female folk is to go to the commands. Wajib. Right? They're thinking, another headache, you know, auzubillah. So what's the virtue? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, afdalul ibadah, the greatest worship for the female is to cover herself. That's how you start. So you say to your female folk, you know what the greatest reward is, the greatest deed that you could do. So obviously they'll start, you know, mentioning deeds. Oh, is it tajjud? No. Is it salat? No. Is it looking after the wounded of the battlefield? No. He says, what is it? Cover yourself. Now, if they've got any iman, that'll spark. Because is that the greatest deed? Yes. Who said that? The Prophet. So if it's the greatest deed, what's going to be the reward? And there's actually a very touching report, and this is also showing the greatness of this deed, to finish. The hadith is in Tabarani, and Rasulullah was with Ali sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu, in Jannat al-Baqi. And this woman was walking past, and she tripped. So when she tripped, Rasulullah turned his blessed face away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was thinking something might get exposed. So Ali radiyallahu anhu, he noticed that when she tripped, even under the clothing, she had trousers. So he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, there's nothing to worry about. She had that contingency in place. She was covered underneath." And Rasulullah then made a dua. He said, "May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on such a woman." Now think about it. Or may Allah Ta'ala forgive such a woman. That's a dua of Rasulullah. Nothing to do with you now. That's part of the greatness of thy deed. Guaranteed forgiveness. So what does shaitan do? You know, he will make sure. And the tragedy is, he doesn't just take the hijab off. No, he obsesses people to be naked. He goes, this is civilized. You know, they say, you hear that, you actually have to start laughing. He goes, well, there's nothing to be ashamed about. We all came in with birthday suit. He goes, what's birthday suit? You come naked, you don't come in with clothes. So what are you ashamed about? And you think, boy, you know, look at the perverted logic. That's an innocent child. Right? You know, and then you think, you know, Uzzubillah, they try to reason with people. And they go, this is progression. And when they look at the females amongst the believers covered, they think it's oppression. Because look how you're oppressed. Then you think, go and ask them. Why are you asking me? You know, do you think I'm putting a gun to her head? Go and ask my wife why she's covered. Nothing to do with me. Then they go to her and say, why are you covered? Because this is the greatest deed for the believing woman. The greatest reward that we can expect. if she's forced it. But if she goes down the hookum route, then obviously there's problems. And then they goes, and then there's actually another beautiful incident. And there was a Western reporter, and it was a blistering hot day. He was in Syria. And he notices a woman completely covered. Gloves, niqab, black. So he's thinking, I can't even breathe. So then he asks her, he walks her, you know, respectfully. He goes, don't you feel hot? And what did she say? She quotes the Quran. Because the fire of hell is hotter. The fire of hell is hotter. That's all she said. And he's just left standing like that. So note again, this is all, you know, honor for the female folk. And even logically, if you want to use logic, do anybody who has any prized possessions leave it for all to see? It's in a safe, it's in a deposit, you need a 6-digit code to get to it. Why? Because it's something precious. And if you want people to see, you're going to have to go through the person who's, you know, who's protecting it. And yeah, the most precious things, you know, them, you know, mundane. Astaghfirullah. And then, of course, you've got problems. So not all of this is helping to clarify upon these two verses that I'm going through. So I'll recite the verse. Oh, sorry, there's one other thing. So there's a report in Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abu al-Aliyah, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, every verse of the Quran in which protecting the private parts is mentioned means protecting them from zina. For instance, just stopping the quote, in Surah Mu'minun, Allah Ta'ala says, those who guide their private parts. That doesn't mean, you know, you could be a private part. It means you don't commit zina. So the Shaykh, from the Salaf, he goes, every time Allah Ta'ala says, guard your private parts, he's talking about don't commit zina. But then he said, except this verse, verse 31. So what does Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala say? وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنْ, guard their private parts. He goes, which means protecting them from being seen by anybody. Look how interesting. The only one time Allah Ta'ala uses those same words, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and he's not intending zina, is here. And it's to the females. Guard your private parts, meaning protect them from being seen by anybody. You know, Subhanallah. So I'll recite the verse. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها وليضربن بخمورهن على جيوبهن. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.